I don't know about you, but we're always looking for ways to get our kids involved and give back in our local community. That's why we're excited to tell you about Student Visionaries of the Year, a campaign by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, which is the largest nonprofit organization dedicated to creating a world without blood cancers. Student Visionaries of the Year is a 7-week philanthropic leadership development program for high school students. Participants form strong teams and fundraise in honor of a pediatric blood cancer survivor in their local community. I would love for Violet to do this program when she's in high school.
This program is transformative. It not only helps students develop valuable life skills like project management, communication, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship, not to mention it looks great on college applications, but most importantly, it's also a chance for them to engage in meaningful work within their community and make a real impact on blood cancer patients and their families. You can learn more about Student Visionaries of the Year or even nominate a student at lls.org/students. That's lls.org/students.
So what's up with your Clawfus door? Do you have it on yet?
No, it's like, it's eternal. It came, it was damaged. They had to come pick it up. They had to send me a new one. Now it has to be stained. It's like... Someday, Liz, by the summer.
You will have a door.
Yeah.
Hi, and welcome to Happier in Hollywood, the podcast about how to be happier, healthier, saner, more creative, more successful, and more productive in a backbiting, superficial, chaotic, unpredictable, fundamentally insane world. I'm Liz Kraft, a TV writer and producer living in LA, and with me is my high school friend and writing partner, Sarah.
That's me, Sarah Fain. On this podcast, we talk about being writers in Hollywood, how we balance a career and friendship, and how to survive the war of attrition that is life in Los Angeles.
Today, we're going to talk about boundaries, professional ones. We actually set one recently, and it felt great.
Then in Take a Hike, Liz has big news. She finally did something she has been putting off. And we'll answer a mailroom question about being positive even when things kind of suck.
This week's Hollywood hack will encourage you to read more. And finally, Sarah has a magazine recommendation. But first, Sarah, we have an update.
Yes, I wanted to share something that happened at the shelter recently. I volunteer at the animal shelter, and I was doing laundry in the laundry room. And usually, like, people come through, but really nobody from the vet's office comes in. And as I'm, like, transferring towels from the washer to the dryer, somebody from the vet's office comes in, and he stands there, and he, like, really studied the towels and the blankets. Like, it really mattered, you know, like, which one he got. I was like, what's going on? And he picked one, and he walked out, and I was like, okay, well, that was interesting, whatever. 5 minutes later, maybe, he walks back, and he had picked a fleece small-ish blanket, and it was wrapped around a peacock, like the most beautiful peacock. And it was like he was holding it really gently, and his head was forward. And then he walked past me in the laundry room, and his beautiful feathers were like hanging behind. I was like, okay, this is crazy. So if you are wondering what your donations to the shelter go to, sometimes they go to wrapping up a peacock on the way to the vet. It was crazy.
Well, I hope this doesn't mean you're going to be adopting a peacock now.
You are correct. I am not going to be adopting a peacock.
Okay.
That's
good.
The last thing I need.
Okay, Sarah, it is time for From the Treadmill Desks Of, in which we discuss what's most pressing in our work psyches. And this week we're talking about drawing boundaries. Now, boundaries is something we've discussed before. It can be hard for us, and I think for almost everyone, to draw boundaries in many different ways. Work is demanding in ways it used to not be. For example, having to answer email 24/7, text 24/7, working at home, you never know when am I working, when am I not working. But this was sort of another boundary.
Yes. Now, we have, I think, been pretty good since we became parents about setting work-life boundaries. I mean, yes, there are, as you said, we do emails at home and all of that kind of thing. But in general, we do draw a line. We do set the boundary of like, okay, this is my personal time now. I am not working. But I think it's harder to draw boundaries when It's professional expectations. Like, this company wants you to do something, or this mm-hmm. producer wants you to do something. It's harder for us to say, like, oh, sorry, that's not a thing we do. But recently we did, and we talked a lot about bake-offs, and we decided, yes. no, we were not going to do one, and it was hard.
Yes. I mean, it's hard because you never know what will lead to what. And that is just yeah. part of Hollywood is like, you follow things, you follow projects, and if you say no to something and then later it becomes a huge hit, you have this regret.
Which has happened to us.
It's happened to us several times.
Yeah.
And of course, then we have to sit back and think, but had we done it, it might not have been a hit. And maybe that the person who ended up with it had a take that we didn't have that was the right take, or certain elements came together that would have been different under us just for whatever reason. Or maybe it would have been a huge hit and changed our lives. But that is a thing that we struggle with. But all you can do is in the moment, make the best decision you can.
Yeah.
We had that discussion a while back with Annie Duke, the poker player, about decision making. And the thing is, you can't make decisions based on outcome. Right? That's her thing.
Right.
A bad decision can turn out well. A good decision can turn out badly. But on balance, you're best off making decisions based on the information you have, and then what will be. And that's what we have to do.
But I am proud of us for setting this boundary, because it's not easy.
Yeah.
And of course, we are obligers. We want to oblige others.
Yes.
But we did it. We drew the boundary. Also, once you've drawn one boundary, it's easier to draw other boundaries.
We shall see. We shall see. I hope so. I'm curious, Sarah, what other boundaries people draw in other careers. One profession that I think must have to draw boundaries, and it must be really hard all the time, is teachers, right? It's how much of your time do you give to students? How much of your time do you give to students' parents? How much time do you give to the administration? I mean, it can really eat up your day. So,
and money. How much money do you put into your kids' education if the school isn't providing it?
Right. Yes. That's something we see teachers struggling with all the time. So anyway, I'm curious how people decide what boundaries to keep and not keep, and how they manage to go through with it. Because we've made this boundary this time, but this situation will arise again.
Absolutely. And I'm also curious to hear from people who have an easy time drawing these boundaries.
Yes.
Because if you're one of those people, I don't think there are a lot of you, but if you're one of them, how do you do it? How do you do it gracefully? Do you not care if it's graceful? Like, just what is your boundary approach if this is not something you struggle with? I'm fascinated by that.
Yes. Let us know. Email us or send us a voice memo to happierinhollywood@gmail.com.
And coming up, Liz did something big on her 24 for 24 list. But first, this break. Okay, Liz, here's some quick math. The less your business spends on operations, multiple systems, delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs, you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems, and you improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors.
Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Hollywood. NetSuite.com/Hollywood. NetSuite.com/Hollywood.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, Liz, it's time for Take a Hike, where we talk about physical, spiritual, mental health. This week, it's physical for sure, but probably a little more than that. Tell us your big news.
All right, Sarah. So on my list for 24 for 24 was to go to Orange Theory 50 times in 2024. Okay. Orange Theory is an exercise class. It is something that I've been wanting to try for a long time. I thought I would like it. So I said, I'm putting it on my list. I'm saying last year I had doing Fryman Canyon 50 times, which I then up to 100. So I wanted something different this year. So I chose Orange Theory. It has a lot of cardio. And Orange Theory, let me just explain, is an hour-long class. It's a combination of treadmill, rowing machine, and weights, okay?
Okay.
With, you know, loud pumping music and all of that. I got sick, though, you'll remember, for a solid month in January.
Yes.
And so I hadn't gone to Orange Theory. And then I said, okay, I'm going to go for our new January 1st. And I said I was going to go by then. And I didn't. And all of these dates keep passing and I hadn't gone. And I was contemplating, do I just take this off my list and just say, okay, I'm clearly not going to do Orange Theory? Or am I going to do it? Because if I'm going to do it, I have to do it. And Sarah, I went to Orange Theory.
And how did you feel about it? Did you like it? Did you hate it? Are you excited now to do it 49 more times? What's going on?
Sarah, I really liked it, okay? It was what I call a whirlwind. Just, you know, when you start a new kind of exercise class, just keeping up and knowing what's going on is quite difficult. This was no exception. But I really like the sort of way it's structured. I like the music. It was an easy location for me to get to. I went to the one at the Sherman Oaks Mall, which has a ton of parking.
Yeah.
It has a lot of classes, which I like, and it has evening classes, which appeals to me. So I came out. I was like, what just happened? I was like, was I in there an hour or 10 hours? I went at 12:40, and when I came out at 1:45, I was sort of expecting it to be dark out. I was just like, what happened? But it felt so good to do it. What I realized, and this is kind of one of the hearts of what I want to talk about, is when you want to do something like that, the first time is such a barrier to entry. Barrier to entry is one of those expressions they always use in Hollywood, meaning to get someone to tune in. And in our case, it's often there's too many women on the screen, and that's a barrier to entry for men.
Yes, we get
that's
the note.
A separate topic.
What's the male point of entry? We get that note a lot.
But anyway, I realized just going was such a barrier to entry because it's intimidating when you have no idea what it's going to be. You feel self-conscious. You feel ridiculous. You're worried that you're going to just not be able to do it at all. But you know what? I went. I said, look, I'm here. I've never done this. I'm not in great shape. I just was right out there with the instructor, to let him know that. And it was totally fine. And of course, everybody wants you to be there. So no one's setting about to make you feel like a fool.
Now, how many people were in the class?
You know what's funny? I was so in my own world that I really don't even know how many were in there. I think at least 20.
Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah, I think. I came out going, wait, how many people were there? I have no idea. Because I was just so wrapped up in my own situation. So it was kind of funny.
What's nice about that is you can be anonymous in that group of people. Like there are so many and you're going so fast.
Yes.
It seems like you wouldn't be like, is everyone watching me?
No, I did not feel like anybody was watching me or caring what I was doing. I was really sore the next day, but I've been on a high ever since. It really improved my mood. Just doing something that you've been putting off, it gives you such a happiness boost, whether that's doing your taxes, writing a thank you note, going to Orange Theory, whatever it is, it's such a boost. So first of all, Sarah, I want to say, yes, I am recommitting to my 50 Orange Theory classes in 24, and I'm getting a late start. So I got to really step on the gas here. So I'll be reporting back. How about after I do my first 10 classes, I'll report back on the podcast.
That sounds good. But when are you going again? Because I also think the second class is almost an equal barrier to entry to the first.
Agreed.
So when are you going to be at Orange Theory next, Liz?
Tonight at 7:30, Sarah. I have a class booked.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. And Saturday I booked a class.
Oh my gosh.
I booked two classes for just that reason.
Nice.
Now, of course, I could cancel, but as obligers, we're much more likely to go through with it. By the way, to any obligers out there, I think Orange Theory is designed for obligers. You sign up, you have someone telling you what to do the whole class, you have your heart rate flashing on a screen. I mean, it's perfect for obligers.
I don't know. I'll take your word for it.
Okay. You know, now I'll start, if I get into it, I'll start badgering you about it for the rest of time. Anyway, Sarah, so that's me. That's where I am. Is there something you've been putting off that you're going to do or you have done?
There is something I had been putting off for years, and I sadly mean literally years, that I did recently because March was organization month for the Happiness Project Revisited, which I'm doing. So I scanned all of my old family photos. And when I say it was a lot, I had three large bins of family photos, some in frames, some not in frames. It was like totally overwhelming to me. I had to buy a photo scanner. So now I have one for in the future when this happens again. Because, you know, you get those like photo dumps every now and then.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh God. So now like every photo that I am keeping an actual copy of, which is not that many, is in a small little box. Mm-hmm. And then I have everything scanned. And I mean, the relief I feel, not one, having the physical presence of those bins, mm-hmm. but just also having those photos safely stored.
Yeah.
It's just so huge. But it's funny because I have my Happiness Project One Sentence Journal that I love and write in every night. And as we were talking about this as a podcast subject, the quote of the day was, "Our greatest weariness comes from work not done," which is Eric Hoffer. I don't know who that is, but that's who said it. And it's so true. It's like the thing you're not doing is really what kind of sucks your energy away. So, yay!
So you did something, I did something, and I will be reporting back on my Orange Theory journey. And thank you to all the listeners who've emailed about Orange Theory, by the way. Many people have emailed me that they think I'm going to love it and to give it several tries and to stick with it. So thank you for that encouragement, because that also added to me definitely wanting not to let this go. So thank you, listeners.
And if you've done something recently that lifted a weight off your shoulders that you've been carrying for a while, please let us know that, because these stories are so interesting. These things that just drag us down, and then you get this freedom.
Yes, euphoria. Okay, Sarah, it's time for the mail room in which we answer listener questions. And today's question comes from Bridget in our Facebook group.
Bridget says, "I mentioned in a reply to a post here yesterday that not listening to the Happier in Hollywood and Happier podcast episodes as they drop is my canary in a coal mine, telling me I'm getting despondent and not doing the things that make me feel good. This makes me wonder how you, Sarah and Liz, managed to put on your game face and do these upbeat, uplifting podcasts when you're going through really difficult things. You're both honest and real on the show and acknowledge when you're not feeling completely positive, but there are times when I spiral into truly dark places and would have a hard time doing a show like HIH. I can push these things aside and be on at work despite personal problems, but the podcast involves more personal sharing than a normal job, or does it? Anyway, however you manage to toe the line between honesty on the air and privacy, you do it with grace." Oh, thanks, Bridget.
Thank you.
I know.
Well, there are times when we are really down. Like, I would say one that comes to mind is when Fantasy Island got canceled. It was a dark time. You know, we were not happy, especially because we had been told it was getting picked up.
Yeah.
Then it not getting picked up really plunged us into being upset more than we would have been had we just been heard it got canceled. But I think for me, Sarah, I'm assuming the same is true for you. doing the podcast makes us feel better.
I agree 100%. I think having to sort of put it into a topic, categorize, like, these are the things that we are feeling right now, and these are the ways that we are going to deal with it or are dealing with it, is actually really therapeutic and helpful.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's both just the act of doing it. That's action is the antidote to anxiety, we say. I think Brooke Turner introduced us to that phrase initially.
Yes.
And it is the discussing of the subject, the processing, the analyzing, all of that really helps us.
Yes. And then, obviously, we have times in our personal lives when things are not that great. Both of my parents have died since we started the podcast. Yes. You know, the move to Ojai was not the most fun experience I've ever had. And there, I guess, yeah, we do compartmentalize, but I think also we have a really nice, friendly, supportive audience, so I don't feel bad when I'm like, yes, things are really shitty. So I think we do try to be honest about that stuff, but also, yeah, being here and talking about these things does make them easier to process.
And doing the show is a reprieve. So
yes,
it's sort of like if I'm feeling really down for whatever reason, personal or professional, this time we spend recording is a break from that. And I think people feel that, I hope, and we've heard from people about the podcast, that listening to it can be a break from what they're going through. And it is also for us a break sometimes from what we're going through.
I also, and other people don't hear this because it happens before and after the podcast for the most part, but we get to chat with Chuck before we come on and record.
That's right.
And he's just like such a sweetheart that you're just like, yes, in a good mood when you start.
That is true. we get our Chuck time, and that definitely makes us smile.
Oh, thanks.
See, he's so sweet.
But yes, it's a really interesting question though. And I think everyone has to do this in life. So I'd say it's kind of the same as everyone has to deal with. The difference is we actually get to talk about it, and that helps.
Yes. Hard agree. All right. Coming up, we have a Hollywood hack that will expand your library without taking up space. But first, this break.
All right, Sarah, we are back with this week's Hollywood hack, and it's a reading hack.
Yes, I recently have gotten a Kindle Paperwhite, which I know a lot of people have. I had a Kindle like 10 years ago, and I don't even know what happened to it, honestly. But I decided to get one again, and I love it so much. I also got one for Violet, because a friend of hers had one when we were at Disneyland together recently, and she was like, ooh, I want one of those. And of course, anything that makes your kid want to read, you're like, yes, let's do that. But what's great about them is they're waterproof. So if you're by the pool, Violet likes to read in the bathtub. Like, it takes a certain amount of stress away from like having them around in your regular life. And I'm really loving just, it's so light. And, you know, we buy so many books for work, just so many books, and we'll need them really quickly sometimes. So being able to access that without having to like order one from Amazon and waiting 3 days, or trying to get one from Cloud Library, which is the version of Libby that I use. And it doesn't have as many things available as Libby does. So not having to take up all that space on my bookshelves or figure out like who to give the actual book to, or am I going to donate this? Or, you know, is so nice.
Well, I have a question. Does it have a light? Like, can you read it in the dark or no?
Yes. The screen is like, it's like lit from behind, and you can have it be brighter or less bright.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes. If you're sleeping in bed with Adam and he doesn't like the light really bright, you can just turn it way down, and but you can still see. So yeah, it's really convenient.
And I assume you can make the font whatever size you want, which is also nice.
Yes, also nice. And the funny thing is, as I was going through this Kindle experience on our Facebook group, all these people were posting about their Kindles. So I'm like, clearly they're in the zeitgeist right now.
And how much about are they, Sarah, Kindle Paperwhite?
Well, it depends what kind you get, but they're about $150.
All right. Well, that's interesting. I haven't thought about using a Kindle for a long time, but maybe I will ponder that.
Highly recommend, Liz. I think you would like it.
Okay. Well, you know me well, so If you think I'd like it, I would probably like it. Okay, Sarah, finally, you have a recommendation this week.
Yes, and it's a magazine recommendation. I'm not really a magazine person, so I'm surprised that I'm giving this recommendation, but I really love Smithsonian Magazine. Violet and I were going to go to D.C. like a year ago, and we had to cancel the trip because I got sick, but we're going to go soon. But because we were going, I thought, oh, I'll get a membership to the Smithsonian Museum, and part of that membership is the magazine. And I mean, I read it every time. And because we're homeschooling, I mark a lot of articles in the magazine for Violet to read. Yesterday, she just read a big thing about sea slugs. It's like it has every topic because it's the Smithsonian, they cover everything. And it's fascinating.
So wait, to be clear, this is an actual magazine that you get delivered to your house.
A magazine on paper. So all the books that I'm not getting, all that paper I'm saving, I am getting it in the Smithsonian Magazine.
Oh, that's fun. Okay, great rep. And that is it for this episode of Happier in Hollywood. We love hearing from you. Email us or send us a voice memo to happierinhollywood@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and please follow us if you haven't already.
Thanks to our executive producer, Chuck Reed, and thanks to everyone at Sankola Sound. You can follow them on Instagram at Sankola Sound.
Thanks to everyone at Odyssey, and as always, thank you to Gretchen Rubin. Happier in Hollywood is part of the Onward Project.
Listen to the other Onward Project podcasts, Happier with Gretchen Rubin and Side Hustle School.
Get in touch. I'm on Instagram and Threads at Liz Craft, and Sarah is at S. Fain. We also have a Facebook group. Search for Happier in Hollywood on Facebook to join the conversation.
Until next week, I'm Sarah Fain.
And I'm Liz Craft. Thanks for joining us. It's a fun job.
And we enjoy it.
All right, Sarah, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Are you going to save the Smithsonian magazines, or are you going to part from them every month?
I am not saving them with the intention of having a big collection of Smithsonian magazines like people would do with National Geographic's. But I do save them because I really do mark the articles for Violet school stuff. So sometimes we're studying something that is applicable right now, and sometimes it's something that I think she'll want like in a year. So I save them for that reason. Okay. But in general, I will probably end up recycling them, although maybe they're donatable. What do you think?
I don't know if they're donatable. They might be. You could ask the Ojai Library. But I certainly don't think you need 500 Smithsonian magazines.
Agree. Pass.
From the Onward Project.